Jai Jai Shri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda Jai Jai Shri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Da Jai Jai Shri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda Da Jai Jai Shri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda Na Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Na Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila Chapter 20 The Lord Instructs Sanatana Goswami. So we're doing on the board is text 365, and we'll read from 360. I think that's where Krishna Shetabhu left off last week. Ishloka Parma Shabde Krishna Nirupana Satyam Shabe Kahitana Shrupa Lakshana. In this invocation from Srimad Bhagavatam, the word Param indicates Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the word Satyam indicates his personal characteristics. Vishva Shishti Adikalya Veda Brahma Ke Paidaila Arta Bhigyata Sarupa Sakti Maya Durkala. In that same verse, it is stated that the Lord is the creator, maintainer, and annihilator of the cosmic manifestation, and that he enabled Lord Brahma to create the universe by infusing him with the knowledge of the Vedas. It is also stated that the Lord has full knowledge, directly and indirectly, and he knows past, present, and future, and that his personal energy is separate from Maya, the illusory energy. Esaba karya tanra tashta lakshana anya avatara aiche jana munagana. All these activities are his marginal characteristics. Great saintly persons understand the incarnations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead by the indications of the two characteristics known as Svarupa and Tathashta. All the incarnations of Krishna should be understood in this way. Avatara Kalahaya Jagate Gochara Edu Lakshna Kehe Janaye Ishvara. At the time of their appearance, the incarnations of the Lord are known in the world because people can consult the Shastra to understand an incarnation's chief characteristics, known as Svarupa and Tathashta. In this way, the incarnations become known to great saintly persons. Sanatana kahe yate Ishvara lakshana pitavarna karna prema dana sankirtana. Sanatana Goswami said, the color of the personality in whom the characteristics of the Lord are found is yellowish. His activities include the distribution of love of Godhead and the chanting of the holy names of the Lord. Text 365, the verse on the board. Kale kale se Krishna Kale kale se Krishna Vatara Nishchaya. Kale kale se Krishna Vatara Nishchaya. Sudrida kariya kaha yukha samsaya. Sudrida kariya kaha yukha samsaya. Kali kale se Krishna vatara nischaya. Sudrida kariya kaha yukha samsaya. Somebody else, please. Kale se Krishna avatar nischaya. Ladies. Kale Kale Se Krishna Avatar Nishchaya. Kali Kale. In the age of Kali, Se, that personality, Krishna Avatar, the incarnation of Krishna. Nishchaya, certainly. Sudrida Karya, firmly. Kaha, kindly inform me. Yoka Samsaya, so that all my doubts may go away. Translation. This is Sanat Goswami continuing to speak. The incarnation of Krishna for this age is indicated by these symptoms. Please confirm this definitely so that all my doubts will go away. What symptoms did Sanat Goswami refer to? Yeah, what indications did he give in the previous verse? Supreme Melody? Trying to know your names, and one from the gentleman. He's yellow. He's yellowish, distributing love of God and chanting the holy names. Yes, three characteristics were given. I'll read the next, before I read the purport actually, because there's really the one text which connects to this, is the next one. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, "O Sanatan, you must give up your intelligent tricks. Now just try to understand the description of the Shaktivesha avatars." So the next section then, Mahaprabhu quickly moves on to the Shaktivesha avatars, but he tells Sanat Goswami, please give up your intelligent little tricks. So, Prabhupada's purport to this verse. Sanatana Goswami wanted to confirm the fact that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the incarnation of Krishna for this age. According to the Shastra, in Kali Yuga, the Lord would assume a golden or yellow color and would distribute love of Krishna and the Sankirtan movement. In accordance with the Shastra and saintly persons, these characteristics were vividly displayed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and it was therefore clear that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was an incarnation of Krishna. He was confirmed by the Shastra, and his characteristics were accepted by saintly people. Since Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could not escape Sanat Goswami's argument, he remained silent on this point and thereby indirectly accepted Sanatana's statement. By this we can clearly understand that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was a direct incarnation of Lord Krishna. Omegana timarandas hiya gana jana shalakaya chakshur umitam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapidantikam Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garadha Shivasadi Gaurabhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So we have a very interesting and very philosophically subtle point here that's of extreme importance. The last class I gave, we read this text. An actual incarnation of God never says, I am God, or I am an incarnation of God. The great sage Vyasadeva, knowing all, has already recorded the characteristics of the avatars in the Shastra. So an actual incarnation never says, I am God. So what's Lord Chaitanya just done here? He's kind of indirectly indicated he's God. So do we have a problem with this? Huh? He didn't say it. But so this is an interesting little point, the way what silence indicates, actually. There's one devotee had an expression I liked. Some people have a very loud silence. There's he told me when I was in an awfully bad form or bad mood, I just don't talk. And he said, Shaman, you have a very loud silence. Just by not talking, we know you're in foul mood. So silence says lots of things. Silence can mean lots of things. There's different ways silence. We also know to be silent in a certain situation means to acquiesce or to agree. And if something's been said that's wrong, you should not remain silent, because if you remain silent, then you're acknowledging it. And I was thinking, Bhakti Vikas Maharaj just brought out his book, Speaking Strongly in Srila Prabhupada's Service, and that's one of his key points, actually, this point that how can we remain silent? There's so many bogus and nonsense things going on. We have to speak up. If we don't speak up, then indirectly we're agreeing with it. But that's it. That's another whole discussion. But it's a valid point. So Lord Chaitanya here, he used that technique. He stayed silent and agreeing. But, okay, so he didn't directly say it, but that's the point he's making by remaining silent. So do we see a contradiction? Do we have a difficulty with this? Is there something wrong here, or is this perfectly fine? The previous text said an incarnation never says he is God, and here Lord Chaitanya is agreeing to be called God by Sanatana Goswami. But did he not? Did he not ever advertise himself? So... Remifu? Okay, but in his own scriptures, he's quoting that Srila Vyasa has written that an incarnation of God never says that I am God. So there seems to be a discrepancy. Shishira Gopinath Lita Vishaka Ki Jai, Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Ki Jai, Shishir Gonitai Ki Jai. So, and actually, Mark Prabhu was here, actually. I think I finished off my last class, actually, when we had this discussion about God and people claiming I am God, and how we have very little tolerance for that as devotees. And Srila Prabhupada had extremely little tolerance. And I came to this discussion, and I hadn't prepared my thoughts on it. Because it's a philosophically challenging or subtle discussion, so you have to be clear. And I made the statement that even Krishna himself does not declare so much I am God. And Mark came to me afterwards and said, Shamananda, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. So he came and he clarified, I'm not sure what verse you quoted, but 10:10:8, Ham Savasya Prabhupada. Krishna says, look, everything comes from me, I'm God. Okay, so Krishna does that. But if we look at Krishna's life overall, the amount of times he makes this point that he's God is actually really, 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 really small. He says it in Bhagavad Gita. And even then, there's only a number of texts where he really gets on the point. 10:8, and everything comes to me, and my dakshina prakriti, I control everything. Everything is dictated by me. And so... maybe a dozen verses at most, Krishna makes the point that he is God. But in the bigger picture of Krishna's life, for his, 14, 15 years in Vrindavan, does he ever do this? Does he ever make the point he's God? No, and we know quite the opposite. He makes the clear message to everybody. If anybody's getting any sort of inkling or any sort of strange ideas that he could be God, he quickly gets Yoga Maya to do her thing, and everybody stays in the mood that he wants them to stay in. When Krishna moves out of Vrindavan, even into Mathura, or more so onto Dwarka, what's Krishna do in Dwarka? He marries. He has lots of nice houses and lots of nice children and has lots of nice family dealings. We hear in the chapter Narada Muni visits Krishna's palaces. In one house, Krishna is arranging for his children's marriage. Another house, he's playing games with his sons. Another house, he's having fun dealings with one of his wives. Another house, he's arranging for activities for the next day's affairs of Dwarka. Practical things, simple. Krishna is acting out his Naralila, and he's very much absorbed in the Naralila. So, for the most part, Krishna also stayed very much in the mood of his lila, his not stating his God, but at times he did. So this is where I think that our philosophy needs to take a bit more. We have to understand the application, the contextual significance of his various statements. And I have to say, I heard a nice point recently. When I say the word democracy, what quote and proper do we all think of? Yeah, right? We've all heard it lots of times, and it's our immediate association with the word democracy, practically. But that's one little quote from Srila Prabhupada. He only said it the once, actually, as far as I'm aware. Somebody maybe could verify, maybe he's... But as far as I'm aware, it's only the once. But this is a lot of the moment I listened to one devotee from Pune, Chaitanya Charanprabhu, and he uses expression how we make certain points excessively high octane. And high octane kind of means loud. It's kind of like you pump it up. But in the bigger picture of Srila Prabhupada's purports, he's not doing that. And in reality, he's saying what we have to do is get on in Kali Yuga. We've got to make Krishna consciousness exist, and we've got to make it grow, and we've got to spread it in Kali Yuga. And the way we have to do it is by a democratic system of an institution. Institutions are democratic organizations run by a democratic body, and that's what ISKCON is. So in that sense, Prabhupada, he's using democracy. So it's not that Prabhupada didn't say it, and he was making a very clear point too about when he made that reference. But in the bigger picture, we have to appreciate the overall comments and bring it together to understand things. So we have to look at the principle and main message that's said, but then at times there is exceptions to it, and it doesn't mean the principal message is wrong, but at times there's other points made. So Lord Chaitanya principally made the point that he was not God; he is the devotee of God, and he came to demonstrate that. And it's interesting how, so in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, how many times did Lord Chaitanya indicate that he was God? Anybody? Anybody remember? So Jamaspi mentioned earlier the Mahaprakash Lila. Mahaprakash Lila actually is only, I think, mentioned in one text in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. In the Chaitanya Bhagavat, it's described in great detail. Very, very nice, sweet detail. Any other incidents? Anybody knows Lord Chaitanya revealing himself to be God? Yeah. So as a young boy, when he was still in Mother Sachi's house, a Brahmin came to stay and was making his offerings. And when the Brahmin made his offering, he'd come back, and the offering was gone, right? And then eventually, he sees the boy, he catches the boy, and then Nimai sits on the altar and goes, "What's the problem? Oh, the person you're making your offerings to is me. Brahma was shocked. But what did, how did Nimai, the point, finish that pastime? What did he... Yeah, don't tell it to anyone. So he said, okay, I reveal to you, but don't tell anyone. So here's an exception. I'm making you an exception. Why? Because, we don't hear so much detail, but obviously that was a very special Brahman. For you, I'm making an exception. But my mission is to behave as a devotee so the whole world can see how to be a devotee of Krishna, and I want to do that. So please don't disturb it by revealing this. Somebody else said something, Remy Poo? Six arm form. Oh yeah, sorry. At the end of that, he had Sarvamatachari again. So he revealed his Sadbuj form. Do you ask you? And a Ramadurai, because was it the forearm form? Oh yeah, he's the Radha Krishna. Yeah. He stands in the picture. Of course, we have Dharachani stands there and he shows how he's Radha Krishna and he's Radha Krishna combined. So Sarvamatacharya was the topmost Vaishnava at the time. And here we have this dramatic time where Lord Chaitanya takes this very famous personality and brings him over to the complete understanding of Gaudiya Vaishnavism. Ramananda Rai is one of the Lord's most intimate devotees. And it's the only time in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, you can say there's different discussions in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. There's arguments and debates and there's questions and answers. But that's the only time where the Lord sat there and asked questions of somebody else. And Ramananda Rai answered all his questions. So it's a very special relationship. So he revealed there. So there's a few instances where he did it. But in the Chaitanya Bhagavad, actually, there's many, 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 many more instances. There's long sections where the Lord reveals. There's like the famous Prakash Leela. There's times when... one time he was running down the street and the Lord in a Shringa mood. I am he, I am he, I am come. And everybody was like frightened to bits, like, what's this? And the devotees had to calm the Lord down. There's Murari Gupta, of course, that's in the CC too, yeah. The Vrahamurti, yeah. So that's another one. But that's also mentioned in the CC. Again, brief and I can't remember exactly how he concludes the Murari Gupta there, but this is his mood to begin with. Yeah. And his tusk, and he lifted up as Raha. But the point I was coming to, I think, is that they're there. So they are there, and the Lord does do it. But we have to appreciate the relationship that the Lord was having with a certain individual when he did it. It was an exception. So there is an order and a rule, but there's an exception to it. Even like Bhagavad Gita, like Krishna says, as you surrender unto me, I reciprocate. That's Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says it. But then, if you take it to the topmost dealings from the Lord and his devotees, Shivaram Swami named his book after this, Krishna at one point says what? Now, Pariyaham. Actually, when you become really, when you really enter the dealings with Krishna, he goes, I can't reciprocate with this. This surrender to me is too much. It's this absorption in me, this sacrifice of everything for me. It's so much. Krishna feels it's too much. And that's, of course, one of the reasons why he comes as Lord Chaitanya to investigate this mood that his topmost devotees have. So our philosophy takes... it's not black and white. It takes very deep meditation, deep understanding. Especially we hear about the Veda base, actually. The Veda base has brought a new era of quote wars to ISKCON, where everyone types in the word and gets a quote, and then you throw out your quote there, and somebody has to decide, get Veda base and look up their quote, and throws their quote back, and it's like badminton or tennis, flinging your quotes back. But... doing something to improve each other's Krishna consciousness and the philosophy is not a quote war. We have to read everything, imbibe it, follow it, and then in any given situation, understand what is it that I have to say here? What is it meant? What's right for this given situation? What do I apply that's going to increase my and other person's Krishna consciousness right now? And it's not black and white. It's not this. There isn't really a formula. In one sense, the beginning stages of Krishna consciousness has a very clear formula. We do have formulas that we follow in our sadhana. But finally, it reaches beyond form and it's something much more personal. So there's no contradiction. We know ultimately, and this is why when there is apparent contradictions, of course, the general understanding is it's to make us go deeper, think more, look at it more, read more, pray for the Lord to reveal to us what this means. It's to push us to go deeper. Apparent contradictions are paradoxes. So they're actually a way to deepen our churning of the philosophy. So there is no contradiction. The Lord, his chief mission was to act as the devotee, but at times he also had his other mission. And that's why Krishnadas Kaviraj gives two chapters, the beginning, the external reasons and the internal reasons for my appearance. Internal, for his own tasting, and external, he had a mission to perform. He had a mission to spread the Sankirtan movement. So Krishna can do contradictory things, and it's not a contradiction. Another nice point. Lord Chaitanya coming, Krishna coming as Lord Chaitanya. What's one of the internal reasons we hear that he comes as Lord Chaitanya? I remember one of the. Yeah. So was he lacking the taste? Was Krishna lacking something? He says, look, what is this like? I see my devotees are relishing, especially Srimati Rani, she's relishing something that I don't seem to have. So is that a lacking in Krishna? But can we say Krishna is om purnam adaha purnamidam, he's complete and perfect. So is he contradicting his own scriptures? No, he's not. Of course not. And for a number of reasons he's not, because Krishna, being the Supreme Personality of Godhead, can have contradictory feelings at the same time. And one of this nice expression of lacking something. You can feel lack of something because you don't have it, like you're hungry. If you're hungry, you feel a lack, I need some food. Then there's when you have an abundance of it, you feel another lack for others. I have so much. And because you have so much, you appreciate, look, they don't have this. Then you feel a lacking because of they don't have what you have, so then you want to give it. So this is one nice explanation for Lord Chaitanya's, one of his reasons for coming. He came because Krishna came 5,000 years ago, and we hear when Krishna's Kaviraj tells us Krishna's thoughts that I came, I gave this philosophy, but they're not doing it. And Krishna was feeling this lacking that why aren't they coming to me, because this is what they want to do, but they're not doing it. So I will come as Lord Chaitanya to teach them personally how to do it. So he was feeling their lacking because of his abundance of love of God. So not contradictory. Another is so this overall point of the Lord, and Prabhupada says in his purport here, is that in accordance with the Shastra and saintly persons, characteristics are vividly described. So why do we accept Lord Chaitanya as God? What's the first key reason we accept Lord Chaitanya as God? It's written in the Shastra, yeah. Nishima Bhagavatam, there's Krishna Varam, Sra Krishnam, Sangopanga Parshadam, Yajna Sankirtana Prayar, Yajanti Hi Sumir Saha. Krishna Prabhupada is a very key verse. But the Lord is comes as Krishna. Krishna Varnam, he comes, he's Krishna, he's not blackish, he's yellowish, he's always chanting Krishna. And he has this, his weapons. Which I'd forgotten actually, you know what's Lord Chaitanya's biggest weapon? Yeah, I've forgotten that recently. His Pangastra, his chief weapon, Lord Chaitanya's chief weapon in this age is his beauty. Because by seeing him, you're just like, your all your material attachments are like cut down. His beauty was of such a level. So there, that's the most principal verse. But there's a number of other verses actually in that area of the Bhagavatam by Karnam Bhajamuni. He gives another couple of verses that indicate Lord Chaitanya is God. But then devotees have compiled. There's many, many Shastric verses, especially throughout the Puranas. Many, 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 many verses. There's in all the pranas, practically, there's some verse indicating that Lord Chaitanya is coming. Even in the Shruti, there's in the original like Samaveda and Yajurveda, there's certain verses which indicate a Brahman coming and he will display like this. His name may not be directly mentioned, but indications. So Shastra, that's obviously our first port of call. Evidence is there. What's the other, another reason we accept Lord Chaitanya as God? Prabhupada said. The saintly persons said it. We've said it, and we see this person as a saintly person, and therefore we accept what they say. And that's repeated at least a couple of times. Shastra and saintly persons corroborates. But there's a nice point. I want to boil it down to, what is the final testimony that any of us would accept Lord Chaitanya as God? Well, the principal testimony would be Shastra, would be Guru, Sadhu. But when we boil it down, why will any of us accept Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as God? For he did to... Exactly, okay. Okay. But that's again the Shastra. But okay, if I take half your sentence, what Lord Chaitanya did to me, Jagannadai can say it too, right? We know that, that's the point. We are Jagannadai's full blown. We just might not be so obviously gross, but in our heart is roaring Jagannadai's running up and down with all sorts of righteous behavior. But it kind of boils down to what Lord Chaitanya did to me. And this is actually a nice point from Bhaktivinoda Thakur in the ends of his book, The Life and Precepts of Lord Chaitanya. This is the book he sent to America in 1896, the year of Prabhupada's birth. And this is the first attempt to spread Krishna consciousness to the West. And so I think this statement is quite a key statement, because he writes his book and it gives a brief introduction to Lord Chaitanya. But at the end he says, now, I understand this may be hard to accept, that this person is God. And that's why even in India, like Krishna, for some reason it's easier to accept. But Lord Chaitanya, it's very small. Even now, it is growing. Still very small minority people accept Lord Chaitanya's God. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur acknowledges this. It may be very hard to accept that he's God, based on so many miracles, so many activities. But still, miracles and activities, somebody can make an argument. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur concludes by saying, actually, I just get the exact quote because it's very nice. He says, it is unlimited love and its overwhelming influence that could only be seen in God himself. It is unlimited love and its overwhelming influence. So we demonstrate Lord Chaitanya's unlimited love and its influence on us. That we will turn around and say, sorry, I am convinced Lord Chaitanya is God. Because again, we return to the Shastra and we say, because look in the scriptures. He's like, he just goes out chanting to South India, and like one person sees him and one person sees them, and before long there's hundreds of thousands of people all around Lord Chaitanya dancing in love of God. Beat that. We challenge anybody, beat that. Just by seeing the person, everybody just is chanting Krishna and feeling love of God. And it happened on a mass scale. But then also I was thinking on a smaller scale too. Can anybody think of an example how Lord Chaitanya demonstrated love? So we have ample of on the Sankirtan mood. That's his mission of spreading love of God. In a small scale, can anybody think of an example of Lord Chaitanya demonstrating his intense loving mood? Well, that would be in his magnanimous mood again, getting all the animals. Yeah, again, that's definitely an example of the wild animals taking love. Manifesting it he manifests his unlimited love on a big scale. Can anybody think of an example of how he also manifested on a much more one-on-one or much more intimate scale, Lord Chaitanya showing how he is such a loving person? A loving dealing. Okay, yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So it's Mukunda, isn't it? Yeah. Okay, so Lord Chaitanya there, like, yeah, he wanted to make an example, wanted to make it a point, and he did. But because Mukunda responded in such a wonderfully Krishna conscious way, Lord Chaitanya said, okay, I've come in. Amoga, yeah, I was thinking of Amoga too, is a nice one. Amoga, like, came and was like, his Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya had the Lord in his house and he was serving him prasadam, something that the devotees relished very much, giving the Lord prasadam. And then Sarvabhauma goes back to the kitchen just for a minute and Amoga comes out and he goes, see, not only the followers, but you yourself overeat too much. Something to that extent. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya comes out and practically comes out with a knife to get rid of Amoga Leela, because like how you, I invited the Lord to my house and you're being so uncultured and so spoiling the mood. So we heard Amoga got leprosy. Was it leprosy? It's one of those two big diseases anyway. You got a bad disease anyway. And then, what? Cholera, okay, and he's one of the big ones, yeah. So he gets that, and then we have this, but Lord Chaitanya then goes to him, and then touches Amoga, and says, Amoga, please, don't be so foolish, silly, don't be so foolish. Say something very sweet, and give up this attitude, and take to pure love of God. Sores. Embracing him. Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Touching. Okay, yeah, sorry, that's. I had one or two. I think I like the one of Sanatana Goswami also in the blanket, because he had taken up this renounced order, and yet somebody donated him a blanket, so he was using the blanket. And then when Sanatana Goswami comes in Lord Chaitanya's presence with the blanket, Lord Chaitanya doesn't go, "Bogus, what's this blanket on your shoulder? Get rid of it." He didn't upset the situation. He didn't want to put Sanatana Goswami on the spot to not have complete renunciation. He just kind of gave a little glance, a little disapproving glance. Sanatana Goswami caught it and went, "Okay, I get it." So it was a very sweet, very nice way to chastise Sanatana Goswami. He said, "Okay, you're almost there, just that blanket." So it was very loving, very sweet little exchange, and Sam quickly went away and got rid of the blanket and came, and Lord Chaitanya then smiled very approvingly at this complete renunciation of Sanatana Goswami. And Jasmi, you know? Yeah. Yeah. You're all these relishing this nectar, and this is like rotten old rice, but because Raghunath Das was relishing it, Lord Chaitanya came. Yeah, that's a nice one too. Relishing his thing.
Of course, love is such a big word. But this is so caring. So like, yeah, Lord Chaitanya, like, everybody, Lord Chaitanya was there to punish Digvijay, and then everybody started to laugh. But Lord Chaitanya considered his feelings. It's so nice, he had a point to make and a mission to fulfill, and he was doing it. Simultaneously, he was considering the feelings of the Digvijay. That's so nice. So on a such a caring way, Lord Chaitanya demonstrated his unlimited love. Oh, you would like to? Okay, yeah, that's right. Is that the rice festival? Or maybe another time, yeah. That point that he it had been just rice, okay. Yeah, so that time he exactly did what everybody's needs, everybody's likes, Lord Chaitanya was arranging for it. So in such an intimate way, he was also. So Lord Chaitanya, that's why he's unlimited love. from like distributing mass love of God to the hundreds and thousands, to dealing with individuals in a very, very, very sweet, very caring way. And so that's why I say our final testimony for Lord Chaitanya as God is how he's done that with us. How we have to see, and our final conviction about Krishna and about Lord Chaitanya, will be see how our heart's been touched with love. And we have an ability to love people now. To some capacity, limited capacity, but as we practice Krishna consciousness more and more, we can see, I'm actually able to love people now. I'm actually able to show some care by one, going out in Harinam and distributing the holy names, and then coming back and then having some exchange with another devotee that somehow or other demonstrates that I care for them. And how in both cases, we have to look and say, well, why am I engaged in this? How come I'm distributing the holy name to people who don't care, or I'm able to like perceive that somebody needs something, and then I'm able then to feel like, okay, let me do something, let me address that person's need and do something for them. That ability, that gradual destruction of our envy or of our crippled hearted material nature is Lord Chaitanya's mercy. It's directly Lord Chaitanya's mercy. He's no Mahavadanaya. He's the most magnanimous form of God, and to the degree that our heart is affected by that magnanimous mood, we can understand this is Lord Chaitanya, and he definitely exists, because my heart has been changed. My heart has been changed. So that will be our final conviction to anybody. Because somebody says, oh, I don't accept your books, or I don't believe this, or philosophy. But if somebody says, but I see you care for me. I can see that. You care for me. Therefore, okay, now I'm willing to listen to you. So that's our most powerful evidence that we will have for anybody, is our ability to care for them, to convey. And Kandamakanda Maharaj puts it very nicely. I'm not pure. How could I ever be pure? But so much purity has been invested in me. Let me share it. So I've gotten no love of God. That's, the devotee's mood. But so much love has been invested in me. So much love in me. So let me pass on that mood. So that's what we do. And our ability to do that is Lord Chaitanya directly manifesting in our hearts. Okay, so I shall stop there. 5 to 9. If anybody want to make a quick question or comment. Madhu. Thank you. Ramnandu? Oh, yeah? Okay. Oh, okay. Let me put it out there, okay. Yeah, so that's the Lord. And that's why I think even Lord Chaitanya, in his general mood of reserving himself to not to be known as God when he was here. But as soon as he left, that was indicated. He indicated that to a few people. Not till after I leave. So he didn't want his own purpose of his mission to be spoiled by everybody claiming he was God, because that would spoil his other other internal reasons for being there. But when he, and that's interesting, Lord Chaitanya, because Lord Chaitanya didn't, when he left, did he set up an organization? Did he set up an acharya? Did he set up a successor? Did he write books? Did he? He did none of those things. He didn't do any of those things. He left it all up to the six swamis to do, after he left, to establish temples, write books, and establish successors and give initiation. Lord Chaitanya did none of them. So he so much was mostly in his mood of being a devotee. But he that's why he spent time with the Goswamis, to, so they would do it after he left. Yeah. So. Actually. Oh, yeah. Hmm. Okay, yeah. Oh. Okay. Okay, yeah. So that's why, so even when the philosophy is there, love is the final point, the emotions, the wrath is that's why philosophy is there, and in Krishna consciousness we have so much philosophy and we have to understand it deeply. But the final thing that we're pursuing is not philosophy, it's the philosophical conclusion of Ras. The philosophy is to lead us to the original emotional state. Oh yeah, and I'll finish actually this little point. Actually, this I was in this thing about our hearts being touched by love. This is one of Radhana Maharaj's nice ones, that we. And it's such an important thing for us, that in our heart is there's a void. There's a void in our heart. And that void has really got one shape, and it's the shape of Krishna. And it's cut exactly to Krishna's shape, and only Krishna can fill that void. Nothing else will ever fill it, even though we may try so many ways, so many other species and planets and relationships to try to fill that void. That void in our heart will only be filled by Krishna. As it's a Krishna-shaped void. So, and so that's what we're seeking. We're seeking to fill the void, and that's why we've come to Krishna consciousness. Ultimately, the philosophy is beautiful, and many aspects are very nice. But we've come to find love, and we will find that love when we put Krishna in our heart, and only Krishna. Jai. Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.